And don't say, yeah, we're looking at him. Power up. That kind of looked like Bill Pitts, didn't it? Where's Bill at? Oh, well, there you go. He's somewhere in the dark right now. You know, I got to say, I'm not a real good electrician, and I don't know a lot about power, but that is me sometimes. And I remember as a kid, they say Benjamin Franklin is credited with discovering electricity when he flew a kite. I don't know, because when I was about 11 years old, I think I discovered electricity too. I was with a buddy of mine, and we had these two walkie-talkies, and one of them wasn't working real well, so I got this brilliant idea to go ahead and take the wiring and pull it right out of the back of it, cut it into strips, and went up to the outlet of his house, and I decided a walkie-talkie ought to work, just plug it into the wall. And so I took those two pieces of wire and I stuck them right into the socket. Yeah, to which his mom, what's going on up there? Because there was a huge little sizzling sound, and then a nice large explosion. I blew up the walkie-talkie and fried the socket outlet thing there. And it's neat how electricity can arc for quite a distance. And scared me. And I never really got around electricity. I've just always had this fear ever since then around power. That guy on there reminds me about the power outage we had not too many years ago. You guys remember that up here? I remember it very clearly, sitting in the dark at my house on my birthday. It was the Northeast Power Blackout of 2003. It was a massive outage that occurred throughout parts of the northeastern and midwestern United States, Ontario, Canada, on Thursday, August 14th, 2003. Although not affecting as many people as the Italy blackout, it was the largest blackout in North American history. It affected an estimated 10 million people in Ontario, which is about a third of the population of Canada, and 40 million people in eight states in the U.S. That was a pretty good-sized blackout. And, you know, it's probably from some guy plugging in an outlet like that, some guy with a walkie-talkie. I don't know that we ever really did get the final verdict on exactly what happened. All I know is it was an overload. It was a hot summer, and maybe everybody just decided to plug it in and turn up the AC that day, and there wasn't enough power to handle it, and 40 million people were left in the dark. You know what's interesting about that? We spend our lives wondering, where do we get our power from? And I'm wondering if the church of God in the world has tapped into the right power, because there seems to be a shortage in the church as well of the power of God. All across the world, it seems as though that maybe the church, because people go to church and they say, you know, I'm not sure, miracles, I'm not sure about miracles. Well, I can tell you miracles happen every day. The power of God works every day of our lives. In fact, Mary is here. She was telling me just this week about how God healed her when she went in. There was no cancer. And that was just an amazing thing. From what you talked to me the week before, we started praying, said, okay, God, we could, and boom, another miracle. Miracles happen every day. Got a phone call this week. Another gal in the church, can't announce it quite yet, said, going to have a baby. A miracle. And no, it's not the Hannons. They got a puppy instead, I think. Miracles happen every day. But in the church, I think people honestly in the church, not outside the church. I mean, people outside the church, you expect them to stand there with their arms folded going, yeah, show me the power of God. But people inside the church, us, oftentimes sit and go, oh, it happened, as if we were surprised. And we should be going, oh, it didn't happen, as if we were surprised. Because God is still the same God. But I think what happens is we've gotten caught into this whole thing of 2 Timothy 3:5 that says we have the form of godliness but deny the power thereof, have nothing to do with them. That's what Timothy wrote. They have the form, they've built a beautiful church, the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof, have nothing to do with them. They've got the structures. We have churches everywhere. My wife and I, we traveled to Europe a couple years ago to go to a wedding, and we walked in some of the most beautiful buildings I've ever seen in my life. I I couldn't even hardly describe to you the cathedrals that we saw as we walked into the one in Cologne that stood over 400 feet tall, thinking, how did they get up there and carve out all of the angels in just the tapestry of this place and the gold? And as you went in there, it was simply a museum, the largest church in Germany, a museum. And we went to different places, the Sacre Coeur, again, a museum of the Church of the Martyrs in Paris. And as we traveled around, we discovered something very interesting. The Church of Europe has become the Church of America. Or the Church of America, I'm sorry, is becoming the Church of Europe. You have these incredible structures, but very few things happening inside of them. And I'm concerned for that, folks. My concern isn't that we have a church service. My concern is we have a church service without the power of God, and we go home no different than when we came in. And it's like having an outlet that we walk around, a plug-in that we walk around with, and we start plugging things into it, but we turn around and we look, and we're just kind of plugged in with no power outlet. And so this morning, I want to talk to you about that. It was Soren Kierkegaard in the 1800s. Soren Kierkegaard is a Danish theologian and philosopher. I remember studying him in college and thinking, I'll never, ever need to know this for a test. And even if I do, I'll never use this guy in real life. So here it is, my $40,000 coming into practice that I paid for college. Soren Kierkegaard, he lived in Denmark. He was a Danish theologian and philosopher. And he said that as he was going around looking at the churches, something really concerned him. He said, I see all the formality and all the priests and the rituals and the crosses and the Hail Marys and all of the things that they were doing. He says, I see the formality, but I don't see God in any of it. It's interesting he wrote that. You know what was happening in Europe at that time. Just about 50 years before that, a guy by the name of Hegel had come up with a philosophy that everybody bought into in the world, and it saturated into the church. And Hegelianism was this: rationale alone is real. Follow me on this. Rationale is real. And in the church, it became this: there are no miracles. If I can't see it, it's not real. How can you talk about those kind of angels and I mean, we believe in it, but rationale alone is real. What I see and what I can touch, now that's real. And that saturated into all of Europe, and it's still there and prevalent today. No miracles, nothing real. And now we come to the church. It's interesting as you go through those churches in Europe. I wonder how much America has really become like that. I remember as we went into that church in Cologne, and as we walked down the aisleway, and the priests were quiet, 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 and people were taking pictures, and you looked at all the gold and these statues and the stained glass, and I, just everywhere you looked, and you just kind of spun in circles looking at millions and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of gold and tapestry. And I thought about Peter and John in the book of Acts when they were walking to the synagogue one day, and a beggar reached up and kind of grabbed him, and he said, hey, let go, what are you doing? He says, please. He says, what do you want from me? He says, please, can you spare some money, some change? And as they grabbed on, I remember one of the disciples turned, he said, silver or gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And this man looks at him, and crippled in his life, stands up and walks. Silver or gold have I none. And as I'm walking through those cathedrals, I can only think of that no longer does the church say, they don't have to say any longer, silver or gold have I none. But I am afraid that they can no longer say in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, because there's no power. As you looked around, you thought, what has happened to the church? Where is it today? And today we talk about heavenly power outages. It's not that God doesn't have enough power for all of us to plug into. I think it's that we haven't plugged into the power of God. And there's a woman in Luke chapter 8 that we get to take a look at. This woman, all of her life had been subject to bleeding. Her whole life she'd gone to doctors. Her whole life she'd done these things. And she just thought to herself, if I could just get to Jesus and plug into his power. So I want to talk to you about the power of God and making sure you have power in your life. Because I'm not sure many of us understand or have tapped into God's power. And if we really tapped into his power, what would that do to us? If you've ever touched power, you know what I'm talking about. That day, as a young boy, when I stuck those wires into that socket, I understood electricity. It went through my body, and my whole body just kind of shook. And I thought, oh, boy. And when I heard that pop and boom, and I watched that electricity arc from the outlet to those wires and pop out to me, I thought, oh, boy, that's electricity. I don't want to touch that anymore. That'll knock you out, get your heart going at a whole different rate, and even shut you down. I'm wondering if people are afraid of tapping into God because of what it might do to them. And so we walk around three things that I know about electricity that I think will help us to have godly homes. Because if we want a home that's godly, we've got to have power in our lives. Dan, I can't touch that wire, right? Okay. He didn't say that real confidently. Yeah. I think I've got this worked out. I'm going to get a little power going here in just a second. Oh, sure. This woman is going along, and the three things I see that we need, number one, we need plugs. If our home is going to be a godly home, we need plugs. But you can't just walk around. I'm afraid that folks walk around with plugs like this, and they've got plugs. I've got a plug, Pastor. I plug into power all the time. Folks, we got plugs, and here's where the power comes from. We plug into our own lives and our own power. And I'm just here to tell you, as a pastor of 20 years, I don't have the power to be a godly man. I've tried to live my life by the rules. I can't do it. I get as frustrated as any of you in my home with my wife and my children. Not with them, but with myself. Because I say to myself, why are we here again? Why am I acting like this? Why do we have to argue again? And how do we get past this? Because we end up in the same place doing the same things and wondering why we don't get different results. Because we keep plugging into the same outlet. This outlet ought to be hooked up to the power source of God, and I can plug into His, and He is the ultimate energizer. His power will never, it will keep going and going and going and going. But we hook into things, into a world that lives by the law of entropy. A body at rest tends to stay at rest unless acted upon by an outside force. That is the law of entropy. It simply means this: left to myself, I am going to simply wind down. I'm tired. I don't have the energy. I can't keep going on. Our relationships and marriages, we can't keep going on. I'm tired in this relationship. Our jobs, how are we going to pay the bills? And I'm just so tired, the rent, and I'm so tired over. And the car broke down. I'm tired. I don't have the energy. I don't know if anybody out there is relating to any of this. But what the tiring is if we keep plugging into our own resources. I'm going to fix this myself. I'm going to plug this in myself. I'm going to do this myself. Folks, you've only got so much energy. And according to the laws of physics, by the second law of thermodynamics, energy is going into randomness and winding itself down. It's decay. You don't have it. Your batteries die. They don't wind up. It's not evolution. It's devolution. You are not getting younger, you're getting older. You are not getting more energy, you are getting less energy. And so what I say is, why don't we just plug into the ultimate source of energy and make sure that all of our outlets in our homes plug in? Our children, first and foremost. Young people, and then the hardest thing to do, because there's so many things to plug into, whether it's the PS2, the game box, the game system, the television, the radio, the iPod, the nano, the super nano, the homework, the friends, the girlfriends, the dating, the drugs, the drinking, the parties, the social things, the peer pressures. Those are all things that teenagers are plugging into. Listen, folks, that's going to wind you down, and one day you'll be sitting there thinking, I don't even know how to make grilled cheese sandwiches or go to a doctor's appointment because I haven't been doing anything except plugging into the things that the world has to offer. Those things will wind down. I say to you, not those things while the world has them to offer, you've got to decide, what are you plugging into? Are you going to plug into the things the world has to offer? Or are you going to plug into the outlet of God in your life that says it's a never-ending circuit that will forever be a supply of energy and strength in my life, no matter how tired I am? Husbands and wives in your relationships, you can plug into all the things that you do and say, and you can keep getting on that crazy cycle and sit at the light switch and just keep going like this and going, I don't understand why it doesn't come on. And you've been doing this for 20 years. Do you understand? 20 years, you just sit there and you do this, and somebody walks along and goes, hey, the light doesn't work. It's okay. It will. And somebody says, you're crazy. And the answer is, yes, you're crazy. That is not the source of your energy. Take your outlet in your marriage and let your outlet in your marriage plug into God, who loves your marriages, who loves the idea that you love each other, who wants and is on your side, who wants to give you all the energy that he has into your marriage and your finances. Let's keep plugging into the same thing. I'm depressed, so I'm going to go spend. I'm spending, so it makes me depressed. The interest rate comes in, so I'll borrow again. I'm borrowing, so I want to go spend. That makes me depressed, so I'll go spend some more and go borrow some more. I'll do this and I'll do that. We keep plugging in to the same cycle and the same circuit. And you know what that circuit is? That in the United States of America, people have plugged into it and their finances are a mess and a wreck. And now they're depressed because it's a wreck. And they're depressed, so they want to go do other things. And it costs money to do other things to try to make them happy. And the thing that makes them happy they're plugging into are not the answers that God has. The things that God has for you are the things that will make you happy. The things that give you peace inside, not outside. Because the things on the outside are going to decay and die anyway. Believe me, walkie-talkies blow up when you power them up. But when you need the power of God in your life, you got communication flowing. Plug into the things of God. This woman discovered this in her own life. She said, if only in verse 46, look at this, in verse 46, but Jesus said, someone has touched me. If you could write a note in your Bible and you didn't feel like you were blaspheming and God is going to send you to the wrong place for writing in there, I would write that Jesus said, someone has plugged into me. And these guys are all looking at him like, you're crazy. Somebody's plugged into you. He says, power has gone out from me. Listen, the meter turns when you plug things in into your house. You know when the meter's turning. Walk outside today when it's 20 below with the wind chill and go look at your meter going, and you're going to get depressed real fast. And you go, you're going to run in the house, shut it down. And Jesus is going, and it says the crowds are around him. The word says they were crushing him. That's the Greek word supomai. It's found in one other place in the New Testament. It says, when the word of God comes into a man, Jesus is telling the parable about the farmer, and he says, when the seed goes in and it starts to grow, and this is when Jesus Christ comes in and we begin to grow as a Christian. It says, it begins to grow, this plant. Oh. And then it says, these weeds grow up around it and choke it, grab it, and choke the life out of it. That's the same word, supomai. It says that Jesus is going through these crowds, and they've heard, miracle man. Hey, nobody's going to the doctors these days. Miracle man. And they're all reaching out. And the disciples, I'm so glad he had James and John, sons of thunder, these two burly fishermen. And he's got Matthew and he's got all these other guys. And they're just doing this. Talk about paparazzi. And they're just kind of protecting him from all these people. And they're grabbing. And people just want to get to Jesus. And the Bible says, in your Bible, it says this. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost supermino. They crushed him. They almost crushed the life out of him. He was tired. He was spent. His wheels had been turning. He had just got done casting out a demon. In fact, the demon was legions. One man in a cave. He was exhausted, and he's making his way down. And here are these crowds just trying to get to him. I mean, if he were here today, I guarantee you he would have strobe light effect on him every moment of every day of his life with paparazzi, people trying to get to the miracle man. And everybody's trying to get a hold of him, and they're holding people back and saying, let's go, we're on our way to Jairus' house. We got to get over there. That little girl needs you. That's high priority. Kids are priority. And on their way, they're on their way. And what happens? A little old lady whose skin is probably white and pale from a lack of iron because she has been bleeding all of her life. Her skin is sunk. She has caves and crevices in her face from being old and tired. She's been to every doctor. She is plugged into every known thing. And the Bible says, and it's funny how Luke doesn't record this in your Bible. It says she went to every doctor and spent everything she had and got worse. You know why Luke doesn't record that in his? He's a doctor. Yeah, you think any doctor's going to tell you, I don't know what I'm talking about. Please go see a friend of mine. They don't say, I don't know what happened to you. They'll keep you there until they either come up with something or come up with something. In Mark chapter 5, it says, and she had gone to every doctor. She had plugged into every outlet that she could think of, and she had spent every dollar she had and nothing. And she comes through this crowd. You talk about plugging into the power of God. She goes through this whole thing, and she says, I want to plug in. Are you tapped in or are you tapped out? She says, I'm tapped out. And Jesus, his meter was turning. He wasn't going to turn anymore. And all of a sudden, somebody grabs him, and it's like it's 20 below zero. And his meter just goes, it just spins. And he goes, whoa, who just touched me? You got the picture? There's crowds about crushing him. And they look at him like, who touched you? You got to be kidding me. Who didn't touch you? He says, no, you don't understand. Not just touching me, not just plugging into me. Power just went out of me. You need to plug in into your life. You need plugs. But the second thing you need is a circuit. Now, I don't know a whole lot about electricity, but I do know this. I did some reading, and so to do it an injustice, and those of you that know, please don't correct me till after it's over. I understand that everything on this stage, everything in this room has atoms. I did some reading the last 2 weeks. And I know about the proton, the nucleus, and then the atom has a proton and a neutron and an electron. I understand about the neutral, the positive, and the negative. The electrons that are spinning around the energy. I understand. What do you mean? He says, you ain't touching me. I know that right now I am taking power from the atoms in this carpet. This is how static electricity is made. I'm simply taking the electrons that are spinning around the atom, and I am charging myself. That's all I'm doing. I'm negatively charging myself is the term. And I'm just taking electrons. I am now storing more electrons than you have. If I were to touch you, that energy is going to transfer over to you because I have more electrons that I've taken from these atoms. That's how electricity works. The electrons are looking for a source for atoms that don't have as many electrons, that are unbalanced. And so that's how it's transferred. Just looking for something a little unbalanced, Keith. In my life, I know this. That in my life, I came to Jesus Christ completely unbalanced and without the power that I needed. And Jesus was charged enough that when he reached out and he touched me, he changed my life. You have a woman in her life who's bleeding. She is negative, and you need the positive, and you need a circuit like on a battery. You need to connect those two, and then through that conduit, it goes around, and that has to be a full circuit to make it happen. Without the full circuit, you'll never turn the lights on in your flashlight. But you have a conduit that goes around. Not only do we need to plug in, but we need a conduit. This woman used a conduit. She was negative in her life. Jesus was positive for her life. And when the negative and the positive are connected, you have power that happens. This woman reached out and grabbed the tzitzit. The tzitzit is the tassel that hangs on a priest's robe. And he had these little tassels that hung. She couldn't quite get to him. And I could just see as he's walking through and bouncing and being crushed as this is taking place. And the disciples are protecting him. And they're on their way. They got important business to a little girl's house where she's dying to heal her. As this is going on, this woman somehow seizes a moment. And as she goes up, she reaches out. In the negative part of her life, she finds something positive. And as she reaches out, that conduit is made. That connection is made. And somehow, maybe that tassel was swinging. And somehow it got right between two of the disciples, maybe right under their arms, Matthew and Mark. Maybe they're standing there, and they're kind of locked arms and shoulder to shoulder. And somehow Jesus' tassel swings. That tzitzit just makes it out. And she reaches up, and the Bible says that she touched the hem of his garment, the Greek word is that tassel. And she just touches that, connection is made. And I want you to know that God says that in our lives that he is a circuit and he is looking for people in his life to show his power to. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord look to and fro about the whole earth, seeking those whom he might show his power on their behalf. In other words, electrons, we know by electricity, are looking constantly for atoms that don't have the electrons, as many electrons, always. In fact, they're looking for opportunity to jump, and that's how they supercharge conduits and how they do that. They make this stuff transfer by making sure that there's more electrons here, and then on down the conduit there's less. And so they're looking for places to connect and to connect and to connect. And if they can find places to connect to, that's when the power moves through something. Does this make sense? This woman is there, and Jesus and his whole purpose is looking for opportunities for power to go through. He's just looking for it. He's looking for it in our lives. It's interesting because I know where that power comes from. Some people would question where that power comes from. She'd gone to doctors her whole life, hadn't she? And the Bible says that those doctors couldn't help her. Understand this. I believe that doctors are a gift from God, that when they learn about medicine and how to heal, that whether by medicine or miracle, it is all from God. I believe in doctors. I believe that they are critical. Luke was a doctor. He was a good doctor and a physician. But he also understood this. I understand where the power of healing comes from. I think that's important to say. I don't think people understand where power comes from. Well, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to get my power, and I'm going to pray, but I'm not sure. I was in Toronto with a group of teenagers. We were doing a mission, and we ran into a lady on the street on Queen Street. And it's where all the nightclubs were. We were out there sharing Jesus, and I mean, we ran into all kinds of folks. And right around the corner from this one huge nightclub, the 360 Club, was a gypsy on the street reading tarot cards and her crystal ball and telling the future. And the kids looked and they said, hey, you see that? I said, let's go share Jesus with her. Okay. Now, remember, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro about the whole earth, seeking those where he might demonstrate his power on their behalf. I said, let's go. And so we went over there and they kind of looked. They said, what are you going to do? I said, I don't know. We'll just start talking to her. I said, hi, you can tell the future. She says, oh, yes, I can. I said, great. What's my name? She says, well, $5. I said, okay, so I gave her $5. I said, tell you what, I'm going to make this simple for you. Why don't you just tell me what I ate yesterday for dinner? You don't even have to tell my future, just tell my past. And she goes, what? I said, you spend your life doing this. I said, I spend my life kind of doing the same thing. I can tell you about the future. She goes, really? I said, yes, I can tell you about the God who created the universe. And I started sharing about God and how God one day is going to come back again and take us to heaven and how the new earth and the new heaven and the book of Revelation. As I'm talking to her, she looked at me. She goes, oh, you're a Christian. I said, yeah. She goes, okay. I said, so do you believe in God? She says, well, kind of. She just kind of hemmed and I said, well, let me ask you a question. Where do you get your power from? And she didn't have an answer. I said, I really want to know, because if it's not from God, then I want to know where you get your power from, because, you know, God is the only source of power, and you're probably being lied to then. Get away from me, she said, to which I didn't oblige her. And I kept telling her about the Lord. I said, you know, what you're doing is deceptive, and according to the Scripture, if you're not drawing your power from God, you have a wrong energy, and you're drawing it from a wrong source. And I started to tell her, and she says, you know what? Leave me alone. I said, no, I'll pay you your money. I'll give you $20. Stay and talk to me. And she turned around. She went into her shop, which I followed. And as we got in there, I kept telling her about the Lord. I said, look, I just want you to know that there is a power and a future that is sure and set. And you can know that future and you don't have to guess anymore. You don't have to live your life guessing what the outcome is going to be. And she just kind of looked at me, just starry-eyed. She had no idea. And I was trying to tell her, you can plug into something, into God who knows your future, and he can be a conduit of power in your life that's positive and not negative. Oh, I tell you what, when light and darkness come together, they clash. She just, get out of here, leave me alone. And she turned around in her own shop, and she went around, she locked herself in the back room. And I'm standing there in her shop going, what just happened? I offered to pay you several times the amount to come out here and talk to me about our future. And she wouldn't. Because we live in a world where people will exhaust their resources in ridiculous things, thinking somehow they plugged into the right circuit and they've got the wrong circuits. And where do you get your power from? The psalmist wrote in Psalm 121, he asked us, where does my help come from? I looked up to the hills from whence my help comes. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I am plugged into the eternal source, the omniscience, the omnipower of God. This woman knew who she was going to, and she went to Jesus Christ. And she's always looking. She was looking for a power. And look what happened. As she reaches out and she touches him, Jesus says, I know power's gone out from me. The wheels are turning. Something's happened. And in that moment, power goes out and it touches her. And immediately she's healed. That's what a conduit is. You know, there's good conduits and there's bad conduits. A good conduit, which means that power and electricity can travel through, are things like copper and steel and metal. Bad conduits are things like cloth and rubber and things like that. This is a very good conduit. I can plug this in right now, and I can get power out of this by just simply plugging this in to that main thing right there. That one right there. Now, my shoe is not a good conduit. That's why we wear rubber-soled shoes. I mean, it's just good. It's grounded. It doesn't do much. I can touch that. And, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't do that in church. But then why not? Now this, on the other hand, is a better conduit. You don't think I'd really let him hook electricity up to this. Not with the things I do. We plug ourselves into the power of God. And we have to be, we're either one of two things. You are either a conduit of God's power, or you're a cul-de-sac. And you're a dead end. The power of God hits you, and it goes nowhere. And you decide by faith, this is where it ends, God. This is it. Do you know that the Bible says that faith is the evidence of things unseen, the certainty of things hoped for? What is real to me is not the rationale alone is real. That's what's creeped into society. If I can't touch it, if I can't explain it, then I don't believe it. Well, somebody tell me about the bumblebee. How come that flies? Well, we don't know. But if I can't touch it and I can't see it, then it's not real. Tell me about gravity. Well, I don't know. But if I can't touch it and I can't see it, then it's not real. Well, tell me about oxygen. Well, there are so many things that we can't. Tell me about life and death. Tell me about love. Tell me how you touch love. Tell me about hate. Tell me about bigotry. Tell me about cruelty. Tell me about warmth. Tell me about a little child who thinks so innocently that their world is a complete trust, that they'll jump off a balcony to their dad in a 5-foot drop and hope that his hands will catch the child. Tell me about things you can't touch and see. And I'll show you a world of things that you cannot touch and see. And in the church, it's called faith. And this woman reaches out by faith and she gets a hold of Jesus. And in that moment, all of life becomes different. She plugged into a source and life changes. We need plugs. We need conduits. I hope you're a good conduit. I hope you're something by which God's power can go through you. You know, Wednesday, I saw God's power going through a lot of people. At the hospitals, I see God's power going through a lot of people. At funerals recently, I saw God's power going through a lot of people. God's power today. Some of you are going to go out and you're going to have lunch. Some of you as families will sit around a table and you'll pray with your kids and your parents. And God's power will go through you. Some of you today will say words of kindness. Some of you today will grab a door and open it for someone. Young men and women, you'll open a door for someone and someone will walk through that door and think, life has actually got some hope. Look at these gentlemen and young ladies. Power will either go through you or it will stop where you're at. You are either a conduit of God or you're a cul-de-sac in a dead end where God's power stops. I want to be a conduit. I want to be a thing that God will flow through my life every single day. I want God to say, I want to just say, God, look it, you can run electrons, you can run protons, neurons, you run whatever you want through my life. You can supercharge me, you can negatively charge me, you can positively charge me, but God, you can charge me because you are my God. You are the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, where my help comes from. For I've looked to the hills. And that's the last thing. You're a transformer. This woman's life changed. But look at chapter 9, verse 1. When Jesus had called the 12, after he healed these people, he gave them power and authority to drive out demons and to cure diseases. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. You're a transformer. This power doesn't work unless it's hooked up to this. And this doesn't work unless it's hooked up to that. And in your house, you go outside, there's a transformer at your house. There's an energy source that comes from DT&E. And then there's transformers. And you just get a piece of their power. A piece of that power comes into this building right now and lights up and heats up this room. A piece of that power gives you warmth and light in your life. I want God to put a transformer into my life. I'd like to tap into His power and have that come into my life. God changed my life years ago. He changed this woman years ago. Look what happened to her. It says this. I want you to look at two words in here, and I'll bring this home for you. Verse 43, it says, and the woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for how many years? How many years? But no one could what? Look at that word. What does it say? They couldn't? Watch this. They couldn't heal her. And then you go down to verse 48. And Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has what? Two different words in the Greek. The first one, he said, nobody could heal her. She had been bleeding for 12 years and nobody could therapeuo. Hey, that sounds familiar. Nobody could give her any kind of therapy. Nobody could help her. Nobody could fix her. It's the word therapeuo. It means that nobody could give her the ability to stop bleeding. Her skin was still pale. She still was lacking in iron. She still had the bleed. She still was weak. She could probably hardly even get around. I can't imagine if you're constantly bleeding for 12 years, how much energy you could actually have, because your heart's got to be tired, your kidneys have got to be exhausted, and your body has got to be spent with every bit of energy. Entropy is happening. This woman was living in a life where she was dying and slowly dying. And it says she went to doctor after doctor after doctor. She plugged in, and said she spent it all at Home Depot, and she went to DT&E. She signed up for all the new programs. She even went to the Tuesday night classes to change her life, thinking that was the answer. And the only answer that she found was not therapeuo, I need therapy. She didn't need therapy. She needed the other word in verse 48. And it's the Greek word sozo. See, how do you spell that? S-O-D-Z-O is probably your best way. Sozo. It is the Greek word for healing and life. She didn't get a mental therapy. She got a makeover. God went through from the head to the toe, touched her life. Listen, if you plug into a small battery, you can stick that on your tongue and you'll say, ouch, that was something. You plug into the ultimate power source of the universe, that's going to shoot through your body like lightning, and a million volts are going to go through you, and it is going to rearrange everything inside of your body. And Jesus Christ, the moment she reached out and that conduit and that connection of faith was made, the negative touched the positive by faith, and everything happened, and everything in her life was rearranged. And she was healed instantly. Sozo, life entered her. That's what happens when you touch Jesus instead of touching the world. And God did that in my life. He took the therapy of my life, and the therapy of my life went from an energy that was BC, and He took it to an AD. That's the currents that happened in my life. Before Christ, I plugged into the things of this world. I plugged into the party. I plugged into the drugs. I plugged into the women. I plugged into all the things that I thought could make me happy. I went to the universities. I did the sports. I did everything I thought could make me happy. And in BC, I found this, that it just drained and drained and drained. One more joint should make me happy. No, now tomorrow I need two. Two more joints should make me happy. No, next week I need five. One more beer ought to make me happy. No, next week I ought to party my lights. 3 o'clock is happy hour. $5. That ought to make me happy. One more girlfriend, that ought to make me happy. One more dollar, that ought to make me happy. And I plugged in and I plugged in and I plugged in. And you think I found therapy in my life? I didn't find peace of mind. I needed sozo. I needed God to shock my system into reality. I needed Him to go from here to here. And that's about 12 inches, which is a ruler. And I needed a ruler in my life to change everything. And I went from B.C., before Christ, and that was the current of my life, and the new current was A.D., Anno Domini. It's not after death, kids. It's Anno Domini, which means in the year of my Lord. You see, God... God came in, and he shocked me with the paddles of heaven. And there was a power outage right out of heaven. And that power came out of heaven, and it shocked me. And I was alive. And I went from B.C. to A.D. in a heartbeat. Because when you're straight-lined in sin, you're like this woman. You're walking around, and you don't even know it. You are the walking dead. And God comes in and says, just touch me. Let me hook my paddles to you. Touch the tzitzit by faith. Get a hold of me. Take the negative of your life and let the positive come in and bring those together. And I will turn things around. And you'll go from the BC of your life to the AD in the year of your Lord. And in the year of my Lord, 1982, God shocked me to life. And I discovered what that Luke wrote later in Acts chapter 17, verse 28, when he said, in him we live and we move and we breathe. And God made me alive. And in the year of the Lord, A.D., I had a current going through my life that was a brand new energy. And it was the Spirit of God, which is pneuma, by the way, which is also translated breath. That's what happens when you get pneumonia. Your lungs fill up with water and you can't breathe well. Pneumonia will kill you because you're not getting air, breath. And so I want the pneuma of God to breathe in me. And Luke wrote, in him we live and move and breathe. I want that in my life. We started this whole sermon talking about a country across the ocean, Denmark. The churches are buildings without power. I met a girl a couple years ago who came from Denmark as an exchange student. Her name was Frederica. Frederica came over to visit and the United States, and through students who reached out to her, she became a Christian, her and a few other exchange students. When I say became a Christian, I mean God got a hold of the paddles and touched her life. And she just, ka-choom, she came to life. She says, wow, I never knew church could be like this. I go to church. My family goes to church. My mother teaches at university. We're Christians, but nothing like this. And she would cry every time she would come to church. We went to a conference, and she wept the entire 3 days we were at the conference, and she cried. And it was because of two reasons. One, because she now had life, Anno Domini, inside of her. And she cried for the second reason, because of her family back home. She says, I have to go home. She said this, I don't want to go home. I couldn't believe a student would say that. I said, what is so bad about home? She says, my mother is a Christian, having the form of godliness. I said, what's wrong? She says, she doesn't believe God created the heavens and the earth. She believes in evolution, that we are an accident. And she doesn't believe that I should keep myself pure before marriage. And I was telling her that I'm going to keep myself pure, and my mom's very upset, and she's upset with you. And she doesn't want me going to church anymore out here because they're brainwashing me. And she just wept. Wednesday after Wednesday, Sunday after Sunday, she would cry. One Wednesday night, she showed up, and her mom was so mad, she flew from Denmark and came to my church and my youth group and sat in and was very upset. She was going to take her daughter home. I couldn't believe it. A lady flew from Denmark because of my preaching. That's pretty good stuff. She was so upset. She says, I don't ever want you going back there ever again, Frederica. He's wrong. Everything he says is wrong. That's not God, and God doesn't want that in your life. Frederica, you go out and you experiment in your relationships, and you believe what you want to believe, you do what you want to do, and you plug into the things that this world has to offer, is what she was telling her. Frederica last year had the opportunity to come with us from Grace, and she went to Wyoming with us. And God got a hold of her heart. I said, how are you doing? She says, I drive an hour to Copenhagen just to find a church to go to that loves God. I just found out a week ago she moved to Switzerland and moved in with another girl, Fabienne, who got saved here and lives there. And the two of them are rooming together. And she says, I have to plug into that power because it is no longer B.C., but it's A.D., Anno Domini, in the year of God. You see, when you're in God, you know where the power comes from, and it will change you. I'm afraid people don't understand power, and so they stay away from it. It will change you. But I thank God for lights, and today I got to tell you, I thank God for the power for heat. I hope your home isn't just a structured building where you go home and flip switches. I hope your home is a place that's connected to the power source. This woman found that out. She touched him, and he touched her. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Today, your word has been rich to our souls. God, if we didn't get anything today, I'm afraid we've hit a dead end. But I know there are people here, Father, that have plugged their lives into things of this world. It's so easy to do.